यमुनाथी रापनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना चीरापनचारी यमुना चीरापनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्यस्थोतरसुतो श्री श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्यस्थोतरसुतो श्री श्रीमद शिल भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की जाय। अनंति खोती वैष्णव वृंद की जाय। नामाचार्य शिल हरिदास ठाकुर की जाय। प्रेम सिकहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जाय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जाय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जाय। श्री नवद्वीप श्री मायापुर धाम की जाय। श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की जाय। मथुरा धाम की जाय। द्वारका धाम की जाय। गंगामयी की जाय। यमुनामयी की जाय। भक्ति देवी की जाय। तुलसी देवी की जाय। समवेद भक्त वृंद की जाय। गौर प्रेमानंदी। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्री भगवान उवाच एते वायसु महोत्पथा व्युतिस्तानीतिः सर्वथा शापश्च न कुलस् यासीद् ब्राह्मणेभ्यो दुरत्यया श्रीभगवान् उवाच एते वायसु महोत्पाथा व्युतिस्तान्तिः सर्वतः शापश्च न कुलस्यासि ब्राह्मणेभ्यो दुरत्यया श्रीभगवान् उवाच एते वायसु महोत्पाथा युतिस्तान्तिः सर्वतः शापश्च न कुलस्यासि ब्राह्मणेभ्यो दुरत्यया
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Personality of Godhead said, Ete, these, Vayi, indeed, Sumaha Utpata, very great disturbances, Bhutishtan, are rising up. Iha, here, Sarvata, on all sides.
Shapa,
the curse. Cha, and
Naha,
our. Kulasya, of the family. Asit,
there has been.
Brahmanebhya,
by the Brahmans.
Duratyaya,
impossible to counteract.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, our dynasty has been cursed by the Brahmins. Such a curse is impossible to counteract, and thus great disturbances are appearing everywhere around us.
Navatsabhyam ihasmabhir jivishubhir aryaka prabhasam sumahat punyam yasyamod yaiva machiram.
My dear respected elders, we must not remain any longer in this place. If we wish to keep our lives intact, let us go this very day to the most pious place, Prabhas. We have no time to delay. Purport. Many demigods coming to the earth to assist Lord Krishna in his pastimes took birth within the Yadu dynasty and appeared as Lord Krishna's associates. When the Lord had completed his earthly pastimes, he wanted to send these demigods back to their previous service in universal administration. Each demigod was to return to his respective planet. The transcendental city of Dwaraka is so auspicious that whoever dies there immediately goes back home, back to Godhead. But because the demigod members of the Yadu dynasty, in many cases, were not yet prepared to go back to Godhead, they had to die outside the city of Dwarka. Thus, Lord Krishna, pretending to be an ordinary living being, said, we are all in danger. Let us all immediately go to Prabhas. In this way, by his yoga maya, Krishna bewildered such demigod members of the Yadu dynasty and led them away to the holy place, Prabhasa. Since Dwaraka is Paramamangala, the most auspicious place, not even an imitation of inauspiciousness can take place there. Actually, Lord Krishna's pastime of removing the Yadu dynasty is ultimately auspicious. But since it outwardly appeared inauspicious, it could not take place in Dwaraka. Therefore, Lord Krishna led the Yadus away from Dwaraka. After having sent the demigods back to their planets, Lord Krishna planned to return to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, in his original form and remain in the eternal city of Dwaraka. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has made the following important comments on this verse. Prabhasa is a famous holy place located near the Vairaval railway station within the region of Junagadha. In chapter 30 of the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is written that after hearing the words of Sri Krishna, the Yadavas went to the mainland from the island city of Dwarka
by means of boats and then travel to Prabhasa in chariots. At Prabhasa Kshetra, they drank a beverage called Maideya and became engaged in a mutual quarrel. A great battle ensued, and killing each other with hard stalks of cane, the members of the Yadu dynasty acted out the pastime of their own annihilation. Lord Sri Krishna, manifesting his four-armed form, sat down under a peepal tree, placing his left foot, the heel of which was colored red like the red coconata lotus, upon his right thigh. A hunter named Jara, watching from the shore of the ocean at Prabhasa, mistook the Lord's red-colored foot to be the face of a deer and shot his arrow at it. At the base of that same peepal tree under which Lord Krishna had sat, there is now a temple. 1 mile away from the tree, on the seashore, is the Vira Prabhanjana Math, and it is said that from this point, the hunter Jara fired his arrow.
Om Agyan Dhimirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Miditam Yena Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jodhapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahakana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahakana Ladita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 11, Chapter 6, entitled The Yadu Dynasty Retires to Prabhas. text 34 and 35. In the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, a well-known verse that is essential to understand before we can approach the Srimad Bhagavatam. Janma karma chave divyam evam yoveti tattvata tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sorajana. Krishna personally tells that the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities one who understands never takes birth again in this material world. Krishna is abhigya and swarat. He is supremely independent and all-knowing. He is achintya, inconceivable, and performs his pastimes in such ways that are inconceivable to be understood by the senses, the mind, or even the greatest material intelligence. They can only be understood when Krishna personally reveals the truth to us. That is his power. He is vipu, limitless. The jiva, the souls within this world, are vipinamsa, unlimited in quantity, in the sense that there are limitless spirit souls. But we are part and parcel of Krishna. The jiva can only understand the Paramatma by the will of the Paramatma, when he reveals himself. Bhaktya mama bijananti yavan yashchasmitattvata. Krishna is not obliged to reveal himself to anyone, anywhere, at any time. We can perform incredible quantities and qualities of tapasya. We can become incredibly learned, famous. We can give large amounts of charity. Whatever we do, it never qualifies us to understand Krishna. How beautiful. Krishna reveals himself according to his own sweet will. And by his own sweet will, he comes to this world personally, speaks Bhagavad Gita, performs many pastimes in various incarnations to teach us what pleases him. And what Krishna is attracted, what is he attracted to that reveals himself, the unlimited, to little conditioned souls like us? It is bhakti, love, devotion, the sincere surrender of the heart to be completely surrendered to the pleasure of Krishna. When we truly make Krishna the center of our lives, Krishna reciprocates. Yegatamam prapadyante. He makes us the center of his life. Krishna has explained this in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that my devotee, who only thinks of me, I only think of that devotee. For that devotee who has nothing in the world except me, I have nothing but that devotee. Krishna has the power to personally give his fullest energy to a single devotee while simultaneously doing that for all of his devotees. Evam parampara praptam. Therefore, in this world, the only way to actually know Krishna as he is as he reveals himself through the hearts of his true devotees. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena seva. We approach a guru because a guru is one in parampara who reveals the truth, the transparent via medium by which Krishna reveals himself. And as Krishna fulfills everyone's desires in the sense that he reveals himself accordingly, he simultaneously gives complete faith in devotees who hear this message. And at the same time, he gives complete skepticism to the point of total atheism to another person who hears the same pastime, according to how we approach him. The Bhagavatam tells Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojata Janayat Yasyu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayodohaitakam. That the complete fulfillment of all knowledge and all renunciation are accomplished simply by rendering sincere devotional service, bhakti, to the Lord. Atapum bird vijastreshtas varna shrama vivagasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsidir haritosha. The perfection of all our activities is simply to please Krishna. And Krishna tells that in order to get a taste to hear about Krishna, when we actually really have a taste to hear about Krishna, when by the mercy of Krishna and the Vaishnavas we developed true faith, then Krishna reveals himself. But Krishna tells that taste Vasudevi Katha Ruchi Syan Mahatsevayavi Prapunya Tiratana Sevana. It's only possible when we have a proper service attitude to serve the devotees of Krishna, to be the servant of the servant of the servant. This was the message that Krishna spoke in Bhagavad Gita, that Sukadeva Goswami defined through so many stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates personified. Without this attitude to see as the greatest treasure of our life, to please Krishna by serving his servants, we can never truly understand Krishna. We could memorize Krishna's leelas, but if we don't do it in such a way that pleases Krishna, it simply remains theoretical. Transcendental knowledge is not meant to remain theoretical. It's meant to realize, to have direct experience.
That experience comes when Krishna gives us that experience. In this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, it seems so bewildering. And it has bewildered even scholars for ages. Krishna and the Yadu dynasty, how they left this world. Srila Prabhupada said, if you want to show your love for me, then you cooperate with each other for the mission of Lord Krishna. Krishna told the Prachetas that I'm appearing before you because I'm pleased by your friendly relations with each other. So considering these truths, why? Why the Yadu dynasty, who are Krishna's own relatives, who live with Krishna for so long? Many of them, they live with Krishna in Mathura. Then they move to Dwarka with Krishna, and they live with Krishna for well over 100 years, seeing him every day, having direct darshan with him. Why did they fight with each other to such an extent, as we find in Prabhasak Chaitra? How is this possible? Is this a contradiction? Devotees aren't supposed to fight with each other. And if they do fight, it's supposed to be to uplift each other, not to kill each other. So it seems quite bewildering. Yet, when we read these beautiful purports by the acharyas, when we understand the Srimad Bhagavatam as it is, it's not bewildering. It's beautiful. Even if we don't understand it, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. And Krishna doesn't reveal himself simply to people who intellectually understand him. Krishna reveals himself to those who have faith in how beautiful everything about him is. That's the proper understanding. Quantitative understanding of Krishna is impossible. Krishna is limitless in every way. But the qualitative understanding of Sharanagati, Krishna, I'm yours. When Krishna is pleased, then Krishna, you're mine. He gives us that understanding that everything about Krishna is all attractive. Whatever Krishna does is supremely merciful to all living beings. Here we find in the purport the explanation that when Krishna told Brahma and the demigods on the shore of the ocean of milk that he would descend to fulfill the prayer of Mother Bhumi to eliminate the miscreants, to reestablish true principles of religion and to reveal his own divine pastimes, he would appear in the dynasty of the Prishnis and the Yadus, Andaka, and that the demigods should expand themselves to take birth in those places to assist him in his pastimes, which they did. So many of the demigods are living in Dwarka. And Krishna to Dwarka is so auspicious on every level that if during Krishna's Leela,
if anyone passes away in Dwarka, they must go back home, back to Godhead immediately. So here in this verse, Krishna is saying our dynasty has been cursed by the Brahmins. Such a curse is impossible to counteract. What can be impossible for Krishna? Krishna can do anything. Why is Krishna saying impossible? This is Krishna. If everything is possible for Krishna, that means it's possible for Krishna to make something impossible. Otherwise, not everything is impossible for Krishna. So Krishna is saying it's impossible. It's a pastime. The Yadus were so powerful, being devatas, direct associates, and relatives of Krishna. There was no one in the universe that could harm them. The only people that could harm them were each other. So Krishna performed this beautiful pastime because they had fulfilled all the purposes that they had come for. Krishna had fulfilled all the purposes that he had come for. In Vrindavan, when Krishna left for Mathura, the ecstasy of the love of the Brijavasis in separation were the highest revelation of ecstatic love. They cried for Krishna, expecting him to return at any moment. But years and years passed. And ultimately, Krishna returned to Vrindavan after he delivered Dantavakra. And in their same bodies, he just brought everyone in Brajbhumi back to Goloka Vrindavan with him. And then he came back down and went to Dwarka. So he's performing different leelas with his different devotees. They are all transcendental. The Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita. When we hear these messages from great souls in Parampara, everything makes sense. Otherwise, however scholarly we are, we have to speculate like anything to figure out what's happening. And we can never come to the conclusion. Teshan satata yuktanam vajatam priti purukavam tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamo payanti de. That when we serve Krishna, when we worship him with love and devotion, Krishna makes everything known to us. Whatever we're supposed to know to awaken our love and devotion, more and more Krishna reveals to us. The month of December, so many of our devotees were distributing these books that Srila Prabhupada have written. To give this understanding, Srila Prabhupada so perfectly followed the will of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati so perfectly gave his heart and life to fulfill the will of Bhakti Vinod Thakur.
to make these transcendental literatures available to the devotees and to the people in general. It's not that we are destined to take things for granted, but it's a tendency. It's a strong tendency in humanity. Things that are so rare, when somehow or other they seem accessible, we don't see them as rare anymore. Therefore, it's very important to hear and to see everything in its proper perspective, through the eyes of devotees, through the eyes of the scriptures. Srinivasa Acharya, he so much wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya. He heard about him from his father, Chaitanya Das, for so many years. He heard about so many of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Das, all he could do was speak about Lord Chaitanya and his associates. Srinivasa Acharya developed ecstatic, unalloyed love for Lord Chaitanya and all the devotees just by hearing from his father. When he grew up a little, he wanted to go to Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya, to meet all these devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him, "Please come to Puri." He was rushing to Puri. And right in the outskirts of Jagannath Puri, he met some people who told him Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left the world. He's gone. The only object of his attraction in his life to meet Lord Chaitanya was now finished. He fell to the ground unconscious. He had no reason to live. He actually decided to end his life. Lord Chaitanya appeared to him in his unconscious state and told him, "Go and study Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. He's at the Totogopinath temple." Gadadhar Pandit is Sri Radha, who has descended in Mahaprabhu's Leela. At Totogopinath temple, he met with Gadadhar Pandit, who was crying and crying in separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srinivasa Acharya told him what had happened. He said, "Well, Lord Chaitanya had already told me about you, and I've been awaiting your arrival. The only reason I continued living after he left is just to fulfill his wish to teach you Srimad Bhagavatam. But there's a problem. Every day for 3 hours at least, Lord Chaitanya would come here to Totogopinath temple for years and years, and we would recite and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam together. And as we would discuss these pastimes, so many tears of love flowed from both of our eyes when they fell on the pages. The script is not readable. So if you want to study Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to get another Srimad Bhagavatam." In those days, it's not that Srinivasa Acharya went to the Bhuvaneshwar airport. And somebody came and said, and put up Srimad Bhagavatam in his hand and asked for a donation. It's not that there were bookstalls. so rare. He had to walk all the way back to the Navadvip area. And he had to find a scribe to personally copy the entire 18,000 slokas of Srimad Bhagavatam. It wasn't ready-made. He had to find a Brahmin who could do that, and he had to sit and wait. There was no printing presses. There wasn't even pens and paper. Everything was done with so much devotion. had to create dyes out of natural herbs underground and from flowers. Had to prepare palm leaves or parchment from trees to make paper. It's a whole process. It takes time to treat them. After making all the pages and getting the ink and creating a little pen that, from natural sources, then to write. After all the 18,000 slokas of Srimad Bhagavatam were given to Srinivasacharya, in the meanwhile, he was visiting so many great devotees and getting so many blessings. It was complete. By foot, the only way to travel in those days, he returned to Jagannath Puri. Now I could learn from Gadadhar Pandit. When he came to the outskirts of Puri, he heard some people talking. Gadadhar Pandit could no longer live in separation from Lord Chaitanya. He had left the world. Srinivasacharya understood the value of Srimad Bhagavatam and understood that the true value of Srimad Bhagavatam could only be realized when we study under person Bhagavats, people who live the Srimad Bhagavatam. He fell unconscious. What is the use of him having the book without Gadadhar Pandit? Gadadhar Pandit appeared to him, told him to go to Vrindavan to study under Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. On his way to Vrindavan, he got blessings from so many people. When he reached Mathura, he bathed at Vishram Ghat. He was about to enter Vrindavan when he heard from some of the Brijvasis, Rupa and Sanatan had left the world. And he, falling unconscious in that unconscious state, Rupa and Sanatan appeared to him and told him he should take initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami and learn Srimad Bhagavatam from Jiva Goswami. Simultaneously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami appeared to Jiva Goswami and gave the same message that Srinivas is coming. Take him and give him shelter. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami must initiate him. And he appeared to Gopal Bhatta Goswami in a vision and told the same message, Rupa and Sanatan. When Srinivasacharya arrived in Vrindavan, he saw the trees, the flowers, so many bumblebees buzzing enthusiastically, going from one flower to another flower to another flower, drinking nectar. Such a song. There were peacocks and peahens dancing and cawing. So many parrots and other beautiful birds flapping their wings, going from branch to branch, singing wonderful songs. the forest of Vrindavan, he was seeing the spiritual world, the ultimate beauty. He went to the temple of Govinda Dev. And taking darshan of Sri Sri Radha Govinda, he just sat in a secluded place and cried. Meanwhile, Jiva Goswami went to visit Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Jiva Goswami bowed down and placed his head at the feet of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and they both cried because they both had the visions of Rupa Goswami. They were so much anticipating the arrival of Srinivasacharya. Jiva Goswami went to Radha Govinda and found Srinivasacharya crying in separation. He lifted up and brought him to Radha Damodar temple and offered him to Sri Sri Radha Damodar, the Murti that Rupa Goswami personally carved for him. And then brought him to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was sitting just near Sri Sri Radha Raman, crying in ecstatic love. Srinivasacharya bowed down, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami understood his purpose. He placed his feet on the head of Gopal Bhatta, of Srinivasacharya, picked him up, embraced him, offered him at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Raman. Yes, Srinivasacharya really understood the value of these transcendental literatures. After years of living under the guidance and shelter of Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Jiva Goswami, along with Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivasacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed the Goswamis to send Srinivasacharya and his two dear brothers to distribute the Goswami's books in Bengal. There was only a single copy of each book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami had already disappeared from the world. And their own handwritten manuscripts were in the care of Jiva Goswami. There was a wonderful little library. Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Ramchandra Kaviraj, and Shyamananda Goswami, they were given the instructions to take these most valuable treasure houses of mercy to Bengal to have them copied by scribes. Because Vrindavan was a forest in those days, a very secluded forest. Make many copies and distribute them. It was the first party for book distribution. In the Gaudiya Sampradaya. They loaded them on ox carts. And many of you know the story. When they came to a place called Vana Vishnupuram, while they were sleeping at night, all the books were stolen. They were wandering everywhere. They couldn't find This was their responsibility. When you take your responsibility very seriously, they took this responsibility as their very life and soul. Their mission was to take the Goswami's original manuscripts, have them copied in many, many times, in volumes, and distribute them to the world and teach them. And instead, they lost them. At least if some thieves came to steal them and they fought them with all of their strength, they can say that they tried. But they were sleeping. Can you imagine how painful? They go back to Vrindavan and tell Jiva Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, all the books are gone, they were stolen. Well, what did you do? We slept. Too painful. So you see, Krishna really made a wonderful pastime when ultimately Srinivasacharya recovered the books and King Birambir became his disciple. He's the one who stole them through his dacoit robbers. He and his queen. Then King Birambir made every single person in the whole kingdom disciples of Srinivasacharya. It's the first Gaudiya Vaishnava kingdom. And gave every bit of support for the distribution of these books. But considering everything, Srinivasacharya, he understood the value of these books. And understanding the value, he understood how they could transform people's hearts. So Srila Prabhupada, the first time a few days after the first time I met Srila Prabhupada in America after I returned from India, he was giving a class at Radha Govinda Temple in New York City. And I remember I was looking at Sri Sri Radha Govinda on my left side, and I was looking at Srila Prabhupada on the right side. And as Prabhupada was talking, I started to fall asleep because I didn't sleep the night before. So I kind of went closer to the deities and stood up so I could hear really nicely. And Prabhupada was saying, "You are distributing my books, but are you reading my books? How will you understand the value of what you're giving to people unless you read them?" He was greatly emphasizing. Sometimes when Prabhupada was asked, "How could we repay you?" he said, "Receive what I have given you and share it with others." Srila Prabhupada gave so much of his life, his soul, to provide these books for us. Receive them according to our capacity. Try to understand them. In fact, from the very beginning, almost, just after the beginning when he established temples, he wanted Srimad Bhagavatam class every morning, Bhagavad Gita class every evening. That was very much important. He wanted us to read the books. He wanted us to hear the books. He wanted us to discuss and then share them with the world. So since we have just concluded our wonderful festival of distributing books for the month of December, I'd like to speak something about the festival that we're celebrating today. It is the appearance day of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who is the initiating spiritual master of Srinivas Acharya. Lord Chaitanya, after accepting sannyas in Katwa from Keshav Bharati Maharaj, he was guided by Nityananda Prabhu to Shantipuram, where he met his devotees, including his mother Sachi, who requested Lord Gauranga, the same Krishna who's in Vrindavan, who you're longing to see, resides in Puri as Lord Jagannath. Jagannath Puri is non-different than Vrindavan. Make your home in Puri, because it's close to Navadvip, like two rooms in the same house. So to please his devotees, he went to Puri. And to please the devotees, next year in Kartik, we're having our yatra in Puri. After being in Puri very briefly, enough time to deliver Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Lord Chaitanya decided to go on a tour of South India. He departed. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami so mercifully describes Lord Chaitanya's tour of South India. Wherever he went, he infused the hearts of everyone with ecstatic love for Krishna. Kurukshetra, he went to Vishakhapatnam, Singhachalam, at the Godavari River, near Rajmundri. He met with Ramananda Rai and had that historical conversation with him for many nights. He went to Ahovalam, to Mangalagiri, so many holy places, Kanchipuram, Tirupati. And ultimately, he came to Srirangam. When he arrived at Srirangam, the monsoon rainy season began, Chaturmasya. And the tradition at that time is sannyasis who are traveling, they stay in one place for the 4 months of Chaturmasya. At the Ranganath temple, he was dancing in transcendental ecstasy, worshipping Sri Ranganath Swami. And so many people were coming to see the beauty of Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic love for Krishna. One great devotee, a pure devotee of Ranganath, Venkatabhatta, invited Lord Chaitanya to his home. Venkatabhatta was one of the pujaris, one of the lead pujaris of Sri Ranganath. Rangakshetra was the headquarters of Sripad Ramanujacharya, the headquarters of his guru, Yamunacharya. And from that time, it has been the headquarters of the Sri Sampradaya. This year, We have observed the 1,000th anniversary of the appearance of Sripad Ramanujacharya in Sri Purambudur. Venkatabhata took Lord Chaitanya to his home, which was very close to Ranganath's altar. He had two brothers, Tirumala Bhatta and Prabodhananda Saraswati. And he had a son who was about 7 years old. His name was Gopal. When Venkatabhata, he could understand Lord Chaitanya's divinity because his heart was so pure. He washed Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet as soon as he came into the house and distributed that Charanamrita to his brothers and to little Gopal. When the Charanamrita, the foot wash of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sprinkled on the head of little Gopal Bhatta, and he drank some of that water, the child incessantly cried. Ecstatic love awakened in his heart. He surrendered his heart and soul to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Venkatabhata, wanting the best possible mercy for his son, instructed his son to be a personal assistant to serve Lord Chaitanya. Every day he would massage Lord Gauranga's lotus feet and his legs. He would render very simple menial services. Whatever Lord Chaitanya would need, he would just go and run and bring to him. It was very simple, but with so much devotion, so much emotion, so much sincerity to please the Lord. During that time was a very historical discussion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see the pure, unalloyed devotion that Venkatabhata, Trimalabhata, and Prabodhananda had for Lakshmi Narayan. Their conception was Lakshmi Narayan is the supreme cause of all causes, who expands as Krishna and Ram and Narasimha and so many other forms within this world. Because it appears like this, because Krishna takes birth in Mathura. Ramchandra takes birth in Ayodhya. Narasimha Dev takes birth from a pillar. Vamana Dev takes birth from Brahma's nose. So like that. But Narayan, he doesn't take birth. He's living in Vaikuntha. So all of these great incarnations are all expansions of Narayan. This was their faith. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased because Narayan and Krishna are the same. One day, after being there for so many months, Lord Chaitanya said to Venkatabhata, Narayan is supreme and Lakshmi is eternal consort. She's eternally on his chest. But why did Lakshmi perform severe tapasya, according to the scriptures, to enter into Krishna's rasa lila? Why did she leave Vaikuntha to have the association of Krishna? It's quite a challenge. Venkatabhata, he defended Lakshmi. He said, Narayan and Krishna are exactly the same person. So since they're the same person and she's Lakshminath Narayan and Krishna,
There is no unchastity. There's no unfaithfulness of Lakshmi because Krishna is Narayan.
Lord Chaitanya said, yes, that is true. And then Venkatapati himself, he said, why would Lakshmi want to be with the form of Narayan that's Krishna? Because Krishna's pastimes are the sweetest. So Lord Chaitanya was happy to hear that answer. Then he asked one more question. Yes, Narayan and Krishna are the same person. Lakshmi is perfect. But why is it, even after performing all of these austerities, Lakshmi was not allowed to enter into the Rasmandala with Krishna and gopis? Venkatapati was bewildered. How do you answer that question? He was a great scholar of Vedas, Vedanta. He knew that this is true. But he couldn't answer. He said, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who's also Krishna. So you have to tell me because I don't know. Lord Chaitanya revealed. How Lakshmi is non-different than Radha, the Shakti Tattva. And they are both eternally existing. But Lakshmi worships Narayan in Aishwarya Bhav. Ecstatic love, seeing the majestic power and glory of the Supreme Lord of all Lords, Narayan. But in Vrindavan, the servants of the Lord who are doing menial services, dasyaras, who are the friends of Krishna, the parents of Krishna, and the lovers of Krishna, they love Krishna so intimately that Krishna, just to facilitate the sweetness of loving exchanges, he covers from their view his supreme Aishwarya, his majesty. Yashoda Mai, she's a Brijabasi, she chastises Krishna. Nobody chastises Lord Narayan and Vaikuntha. She shows him a stick. And Krishna cries in fear of his mother. Don't hit me with the stick. Please don't hit me with the stick. And just to protect him from being in danger, she ties him around the waist to a grinding mortar. This is Vrindavan. Krishna's friends, Sridhama, Subala, Stoka Krishna, Madhu Mangala, they're joking with Krishna. They're dancing with Krishna. Sometimes they wrestle with Krishna. And they defeat Krishna in wrestling. They defeat Krishna in other games too. And just to show everyone in Brajbhumi that I have been defeated, he carries the victorious cowherd boys on his shoulder and dances with them. And gopis, they dance with Krishna as lovers. They don't see him as God. They just love him because he's Krishna, Gopinath, Shamsundar, Vrindavan Bihari. Yashoda Mai, she heard that Krishna ate dirt. In Vaikuntha, Narayan doesn't eat dirt. And Yashoda Mai is so worried that Krishna is going to get sick. Why did you eat dirt? Krishna said, I didn't eat dirt. In Vaikuntha, Narayan is the absolute truth. He doesn't do these things. Yashoda Mai said, well, if you didn't eat dirt, then why Balaram and all your friends are saying you ate dirt? You must have ate dirt. Balaram's always on your side. This time he's telling me that you ate dirt. Krishna said, no, I didn't eat dirt. They're just trying to get you angry with me. So just to prove that he didn't eat dirt, he opened his mouth. But the fact is, he did eat dirt. So just to distract Yashoda Mai from seeing the dirt, she saw the whole universe in his mouth. How is this possible? She saw all the oceans, all the mountains, all the forests, all the planets, all living beings. She saw the three modes of material nature personified. She saw the 26 elements of material nature personified. She saw everything. She saw the universal form. All in the little tiny mouth of Gopal. So then she entered into this Aishwarya bhav. My son is not an ordinary boy. She started offering prayers. I am thinking that I am Nanda's wife, therefore I am the queen of Vrindavan. Krishna closed his mouth. And just by seeing him in that little form of Gopal, she completely forgot about the universal form. Because Krishna was so sweet. I'm your mother. And she embraced him and started feeding her own milk to him. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, the 11th chapter, Krishna shows the Virat Roop to Arjuna. Amazing, incredible, unbelievable. What did he see? But Arjuna was trembling in fear. He said, please, Krishna, take this vision away. I want to be your friend again. I can't be the friend of the Virat Rupa. All I could do is surrender to you. So then Krishna became four-armed Narayan of Vaikuntha. But Arjuna couldn't be his friend either. So to fat side is, then he became Krishna. Apparently in a human form. And then Arjuna was completely happy. Yes, my Krishna. Lord Chaitanya told story that once during Ras Lila at Govardhan, they were dancing at Chandra Srovar at the Rasa Stali during the springtime. And Krishna left the gopis in a place called Paita. There's a beautiful temple. What happened at that temple is, in that site, the gopis were looking everywhere for Krishna. Krishna was sitting under a tree and they started coming to him. He manifested his form of Narayan, of Vaikuntha, with four arms, majestic, beautiful, holding the conch shell and the club and the disc and the lotus flower. And the gopis knew this is Vaikuntha, the supreme lord of all existence, the maintainer, creator, destroyer of all material cosmos. The husband of Lakshmi, the ultimate goal of life for rishis and sages. They bow down to him. Their only question, did you see where Krishna went? They recognized who he was.
but they couldn't dance with Narayan. Because he's the Supreme God. Krishna is a Brijavasi.
So with his four arms, he said, he went that way. And pointed, and all the gopis left. Sri Radharani, she came to Narayan and said, have you seen Krishna, Shyam Sundar? And in the presence of Sri Radhika, Narayan couldn't hold on to two of his arms. They disappeared. The power of her love is, he was so attracted, so conquered by her love, that even he was trying to keep the disguise. Two arms fell away and a flute appeared in his two hands. So Lord Chaitanya is explaining like this, that the only way that one can understand Krishna and enter into that leela is one must follow in the footsteps of the Brijavasis. And that means accepting Krishna as the friend, the child, the lover. Lakshmi, even though she was at Belvan performing her tapasya, she could only conceive of Krishna as her Supreme Lord Narayan. Because she could not follow in the footsteps of gopis, she could not enter into the Rasleela. Venkatabhata, after hearing this, he said, all I know is you are Krishna. And I surrender to you. And Srimala Bhatta, Prabodhananda, and little Gopal Bhatta, they all heard this conversation. They all accepted Sri Sri Radha Gopinath as the supreme, ultimate object of their love. They became pure devotees of Vrindavan. They couldn't tolerate the thought that Lord Chaitanya would ever leave them. One day, little Gopal was thinking, why is Lord Gauranga, why did he take sannyas? I know why he took sannyas, out of his mercy to all living beings. But I don't like to see him performing so many austerities. Why did Providence show so much meanness to me by making me born in this place of Srirangam? Why couldn't I see Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip? With his long, beautiful hair, I've heard the stories, dancing with all of his devotees. Why could I not see the pastimes of Navadvip Chandra? He would cry like this. I want to see Lord Chaitanya as the supreme enjoyer, not as the personification of renunciation. He would heave very hot, breath and cry at a secluded place. He couldn't even discuss the sorrows of his heart with anyone. But one day, as Gopal was resting, he had a vision. In that vision, he was in Navadvip Dham. There was the river Ganga. There was all the beautiful bathing ghats. And in front of him was Gauranga. Beautiful, beautiful hair, the essence of all beauty, curling around his moon-like face. He saw his lovely lotus-like eyes. decorated with jewels, the beautiful dhoti folded in three places, ankle bells. Lord Chaitanya was dancing among his devotees, and Gopal Bhatta actually was within the lila of Navadvip. After some time, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu, they both embraced Gopal Bhatta, and they were about to speak something to him. He was so eager. What did they? Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, in the presence of Lord Gauranga, the Navadvip Bihari, they're going to speak something to me. And just when they were about to speak, he woke up. This dream so much awakened deeper ecstasies of his love. He immediately, the small boy, ran to where Lord Chaitanya was sitting. And when he came to Lord Chaitanya, he bowed down, and Lord Chaitanya manifested his form of Shamsundar. He had a dark complexion like tamal tree. He was playing upon his flute for Gopal. Then suddenly, the form of Shamsundar disappeared. And Lord Chaitanya was Navadvip Chandra. It wasn't a dream. He was seeing right in front of his eyes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his beautiful hair decorated by his devotees of Sri Navadvip Dham with malati flowers. His body was brilliantly golden like champak flower. Gopal Bhatta was so much overwhelmed in love, crying. He bowed to the feet of Lord Chaitanya. He looked up, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sannyasi, with shaved head, sitting before him. Lord Chaitanya told him, "Whatever you have seen, keep confidential. I wish for you to serve your parents as long as they are living. When they pass from this world, go to Vrindavan. There you will meet the two treasure houses of ecstatic love, Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Sanatan Goswami. And there you will read their books, and you will help them to write books. And in Vrindavan, you will have many disciples, and your disciples will spread the message of pure devotional service throughout the world." Lord Chaitanya lifted little Gopal Bhatta and put him on his lap and bathed Gopal with his own tears. Little Gopal was crying, bathing Lord Chaitanya's body, and Lord Chaitanya was crying and bathing little Gopal's body with each other's tears. In this way, Gopal Bhatta served Lord Chaitanya with great devotion. And at the time when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to depart from Sri Rangam, Chaturmasya had ended, to continue his tour of South India, the three brothers and Gopal, they gave their hearts, they gave their lives to him as they wept in separation. Under Lord Chaitanya's direction, Gopal Bhatta took instructions and learned from Prabodhananda Saraswati, his uncle, who was a very great scholar. His father's devotion, his loving sentiments of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal mercy upon him, and the vast knowledge he was getting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings.
soon from Srirangam, Gopal Bhatta Goswami became famous throughout all of India, not only for his scholarship, but his character, his humility, his devotion. Years passed. Venkatabhatta and his good wife, when they were in their last days, they blessed Gopal Bhatta. Go to Vrindavan. Remembering Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chanting the holy names of Krishna, the father and mother of Gopal went back home to Goloka Vrindavan. And Gopal Bhatta departed for Vrindavan. When he arrived, he was greeted by Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was there. Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Kashishwar Pandit was there. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami was come. They all greeted Gopal Bhatta as their own brother. Meanwhile, at Tota Gopinath Temple in Puri, like every day, Lord Chaitanya came there to meet with his devotees. Gadadhar Pandit was so dear to everyone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would discuss Srimad Bhagavatam with Gadadhar Pandit for several hours every single day at the Tota Gopinath Temple. Narahari, the author of Bhakti Ratnakar, describes how Gadadhar was dearer than life itself to Nityananda Prabhu, to Advaita Prabhu, to Srivas Pandit, to Haridas Thakur, to all the Vaishnavas. It was there while sitting together with his devotees, his most loving devotees, Lord Chaitanya exclaimed, "I have not heard for a long time any news from Vrindavan. Rupa and Sanatan have not written to me." As he was saying this, a messenger came and said, I have just come from Vrindavan with a message from Rupa and Sanatan Goswami." Lord Chaitanya read the message. That as you have told us previously, that a great devotee named Gopal Bhatta will be coming, he has arrived. Such a celebration of the hearts of all of us. We are now united with Gopal Bhatta. He has accepted us as his brother. We have accepted him, all of us, as his brother. Lord Chaitanya was overwhelmed with happiness to hear how devotees were appreciating each other, how devotees were completely united with respect and love for each other. He wrote a beautiful letter back to Rupa and Sanatan. He said, "Please take nice care of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. That will be my greatest pleasure." He sent gifts to all the Goswamis. To Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he sent his own kopan, sent a belt, sent a garland, and sent a wooden seat that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would personally sit on this seat when he would do his puja. He sent it to Gopal Bhatta to do his puja. And by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa and Sanatan engaged Gopal Bhatta to be pujari for Radha Govinda Dev.
they live together in this way. Lord Chaitanya appeared in a vision to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, telling him he wanted him to worship his form as Shalagram Shila. Gopal Bhatta Goswami went to Rupa Goswami and said, I'm Pujari for Radha Govinda, but this is what Lord Chaitanya has told. Rupa Goswami said, if that is his will, then please worship him as Shalagram Shila. Now these days, things are much more accessible. Gopal Bhatta had to walk all the way to the Kali Gandaki River in the Himalayas, where he collected 12 Shalagram Shilas, brought them back to Vrindavan. Many stories are told in this regard. But he made his life and soul worshipping these Shalagram Shilas. One time, a very great devotee who was quite wealthy came to Vrindavan to give ornaments for the deities of all the Goswamis. Crowns and flutes and necklaces and cloths. And he also gave to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami placed them in front of a little shalagram, the Damodar Shila. And I wish I could offer all these to you, but you know, all I could do is place them in front of you. If it is your wish, my Lord, please manifest a form of Krishna so I can decorate you. It is said that on Narasingha Chaturdasi, he prayed, just as you came out of a stone pillar for Prahlad and appeared in the form of Narasingadev, please manifest yourself to me from this Shila. He put his Shalagram Shilas to rest, and he took rest. The next morning, the Purnima, the full moon, he went to take his bath in Yamuna, collected water from Yamuna, came back to perform his Seva Puja for Shalagram. To his great happiness, when he opened the doors to the little altar he had, the Damodar Shila had manifest a beautiful threefold bending form. He went to inform Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. They came. When they saw the form that Krishna had revealed himself, they were overcome with ecstatic love. In our Gaudiya Sampradaya, there are three truths that are the very essence of all Vedic knowledge. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught in this way. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Sambandha, to re-establish our relationship with Krishna. To be attracted by Krishna and away from all the materialistic distractions of this universe is the beginning. The Sambandha Murti is Madan Mohan. The Sambandha Acharya is Sanatan Goswami, representing the lotus feet of Krishna. Abhideya is to engage in spontaneous, loving, devotional service to Krishna. Govinda Dev is the Sambandha Murti, and Rupa Goswami is the Sambandha, the Abhideya Acharya and Abhideya Murti. And through the process of pure devotional service, Prayojana, one attains the ecstatic love of the gopis, the residents of Vrindavan. Gopinath is the Prayojana Murti. Raghunath Das Goswami is the Prayojana Acharya. The Goswamis, when they saw Radharaman, they saw all three of these murtis fully manifest in one form. Madan Mohan's lotus feet. They saw Gopinath's chest and his hands playing flute, and Govinda Dev's beautiful face. And because he appeared just close to Nidibhan, where Lord Sri Krishna decorates Sri Radharani during the Raslila and rests with her, the Goswamis named the deity Sri Radha Raman. Krishna who gives pleasure to Sri Radha. Gopal Bhatta Goswami made the service of Radharaman his very life and soul. He knew nothing but Sri Radharaman. Every day they would meet at Radha Damodar temple, the six Goswamis, Bhugarbha Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. And their intimate associates. They would have kirtan there. They would take prasad there. They would share Krishna Katha there. They would discuss the books they were writing and how they're going to penetrate the world with Krishna consciousness. They would discuss their services of revealing and excavating the holy places of Krishna's pastimes to the world. Srila Prabhupada said Radha Damodar temple is the center of the universe for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Gopal Gopatta Goswami would go back to his where Radha Ramanji arranged for a beautiful temple to be built for him. He would sing for Radha Raman. He would make offerings of bhoga. He would offer the artis. He would dance. His life and soul was Radha Raman. But sometimes he would, not sometimes, always, he was constantly remembering the humble services he offered to Lord Chaitanya, Sri Gaurachandra in Sri Rangam. It's Lord Chaitanya who has saved my life. He's my life and soul. It's only by his mercy that I have Sri Radharaman. He would be so absorbed in thinking of Lord Chaitanya, even when he was worshipping Radharaman, with such gratitude. My parents told me that my life and soul should be the service of Lord Gauranga. While he was thinking like this, Sri Radharaman, knowing his heart, personally, directly manifested the form of Lord Gauranga. Gopal Bhatta Goswami knew fully by the Lord's will that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radharaman.
he's receiving all my love and my devotion as Radharaman. In this way, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, an ecstatic love, resided in Vrindavan among, as one of the six Goswamis. Along with Sanatan Goswami, he wrote the Adi Bhakti Vilas. Kavi Karnapur and Gaur Ganodash Deepika. He tells us that Ananga Manjari, the younger sister of Sri Radha, appeared as Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And others say that he is Guna Manjari. After Rupa and Sanatan Goswami departed from this world and Srinivasacharya came, Gopal Bhatta Goswami he could see in Srinivasacharya, Shamananda Goswami and Narottam Das Thakur how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message was going to spread throughout the world. And along with Jiva Goswami, he sent Srinivasacharya to depart from Vrindavan for this mission. I'm just thinking, Srila Prabhupada was living right at the place where all the six Goswamis would meet almost every day. Gopal Bhatta Goswami would travel around Brajbhumi in Sanket. One of his bhajan kutiras is there, as well as Radha Kund. In Sanket, his bhajan kutir was a hole in the ground, an underground cave. Some of us have been there during our yatras. Some years before, when the yatras were small groups, we would all go in the cave one at a time because you had to crawl underground. And when you get to the cave, you can't stand up because it's just stones. All you could do is sit. There's no windows, no cross ventilation. Gopal Bhatta Goswami would sit there for months at a time just chanting, remembering Krishna. And when returning to Vrindavan to meet together at Radha Damodar, Srila Prabhupada lived there in that very place. It was from Radha Damodar temple that Jiva Goswami specifically sent Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shamananda Goswami to distribute these books. It was there that Srila Prabhupada, like the Goswamis, everything in their teachings was to personify the essence and churn the nectar that's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said like this, Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam. In drama that we saw a few days ago, it was quoted that Lord Chaitanya said, the crest jewel of all the Vedas is the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Amalam Puranam. The cream of all Vedic literature. Sri Dhamma and Kishori made that beautiful play about Narada Muni. How he instructed Vyasadeva, you are so unhappy. Why are you unhappy? You took the four, you took the Vedas and made it into four Vedas, Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Atharva Veda, Sama Veda. You made, wrote Upanishads, 108 Upanishads and more. You wrote so many Puranas, Itihastas, Vedanta Sutra. Vyasa said, I've done all this, but still there's an emptiness in my heart. Narada Muni said, you have not given a book that exclusively glorifies unalloyed pure devotional service. And you have not directly described the beautiful pastimes of Krishna in full. Srimad Bhagavatam was written. Culminates with Sri Radha's love for Krishna. So the six Goswamis, their books were expanding the nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada, he spent about 6 years just beside Rupa Goswami's Samadhi and Bhajan Kutir at Radha Damodar's temple. He was very, very dear friends with Vishwambhar Goswami, who was one of the priests, the high priests of the Radharaman temple. It is said that Gopal Bhatta Goswami was traveling and preaching. And in one place, a man came to him and told him, I have no child. Please bless me that I can have a child. And then he had a son born. And Gopal, and he was so grateful, he offered his son to be a full-time assistant of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. His name is Gopinath Pujari. He became one of the priests. And he and his family, the priests of Radharaman Temple today, are their descendants. Srila Prabhupada, that was his life, living in Vrindavan. Going to the temples of the six Goswamis, living in the very heart of the Goswamis' pastimes. The same mission. From the very place that Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shamananda were dispatched to distribute books all over the world, Srila Prabhupada departed from Vrindavan. He had come to Mumbai. It was here that he got his free passage on Jaladuta to New York. He traveled down by Sri Lanka, Kanyakumari. His ship stopped for some time in Cochin, where it was Janmashtami and Srila Prabhupada's 69th birthday. And it was there on Srila Prabhupada, on Janmashtami, his 69th birthday, that from Delhi the Srimad Bhagavatams arrived and were put on the ship. Srila Prabhupada traveled to America with Krishna in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And from that historical event, we have all been given, and the whole world has been given, the opportunity to truly understand Lord Chaitanya's mission. Very important to understand Prabhupada's mood. The introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada wrote a summary of Lord Chaitanya's whole life and pastimes.
Srila Prabhupada returned to India with devotees like Shamsundar Prabhu, who was with us at Radha Gopinath Temple today. He established our movement here in India. Tomorrow, everyone please come. I'll speak something for Srimad Bhagavatam class, just to somehow or other get your attention. But in honor of Shamsundar Prabhu, I'll actually be on time tomorrow, at least it's my plan. The reason I'm late is for confidential reasons, because I take Ayurvedic medicine and certain things have to be resolved before I could come and give class. I'm not going to go into details. But Ayurveda is not it's not based on punctuality. It's a gradual process. So tomorrow, Shamsundar Prabhu is going to be releasing his book, Chasing Rhinos with the Swami. He was personally witnessing Srila Prabhupada from 1967, January, when he came to San Francisco, when Prabhupada, Shamsundar Prabhu was with Prabhupada in San Francisco, and then Montreal, and then London, and then Srila Prabhupada personally called for Shamsundar Prabhu, Malati Devi, Saraswati, Gurudas, Yamuna, Giriraj Swami, all these people to come and help him to establish his mission in India. And of all places in India, Shamsundar loved Bombay. He just wanted to be in Bombay. He thought the people here and the excitement here was so special. But then somehow or other, Bombay became Mumbai. And it became even more exciting. So everyone, please come tomorrow. It will be very special. And today we're having Rath Yatra in Dadar, Shivaji Park. What time does it begin? 3 o'clock the parade starts? Say loud, please. He said, yes, yes, 3 o'clock. And then tonight there'll be a wonderful Pandal program. So, if possible, please, everyone, let us celebrate together. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.